శ్రుతిస్మృతిపురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. లెట్స్ స్టాండ్ టుగెదర్. జాగ్రత్స్వప్న సుషుప్తిషు స్ఫుటతరా యా సంవిత్ ఉజృంభతే యా బ్రహ్మాది పిపీలికాంతతనుషు ప్రోతా జగత్సాక్షిణి సైవాహం నచ దృశ్యవస్త్వితి దృఢ ప్రజ్ఞాపి యస్యాస్తి చేత్ చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. బ్రహ్మైవాహమిదం జగచ్చ సకలం చిన్మాత్ర విస్తారితం సర్వం చైతద విద్యయా త్రిగుణయా అశేషం మయా కల్పితం. ఇత్థం యస్య దృఢామతి సుఖతరే నిత్యే పరే నిర్మలే చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. So we've seen up to this point. So in the first two verses we saw that the one Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sphutatara, the one who is very clear in all these three phases or states of experience, waking, dream and sleep, who shines very clearly and who is as though woven into all the living beings, from Brahmaji up to an ant, Saivaham, that Brahman alone I am, that Samvit, that conscious principle alone I am, Nacha Drishya Vastu, I am not another object which can be objectified. The one who knows this, he is my guru, to him my salutation. Whether he is a Chandala or a Brahmana, it doesn't make a difference. Then the next question dealt a little more with the mithyatvam by saying brahmaiva ahamidam jagatcha sakalam chinmatra vistaritam. Brahmaiva aham, I am Brahman alone. It means I am not any object, I am that which is pervading every name and form, that brahmaiva eva aham. If that is so, then what is all this subject object vyavahara that I have every moment of my life? What is this? And the answer is, all this sakalam chinmatra vistaritam. It is just this chit alone, this consciousness alone, this samvit alone, which has been as though extended, like in a dream. So that one consciousness alone appears in the form of many, as subject and objects. So chinmatra vistaritam. By what did it, by what was this accomplished? By my shakti. What shakti? Trigunaya avidyaya mayaya. By this trigunatmika shakti alone, all this was accomplished. As though it's really not there, that pratiti of something which is not there, the appearance of something which is not there, is made possible by this shakti. So can you inquire into the shakti? We are not able to understand the phenomena. We are not able to understand how, if there is one reality, I see this subject-object transactions all the time. To explain that, we come up with a mechanism. Really, it's a mechanism. Say Maya Shakti. But people now want to know, what is Maya? You will have to create one more Maya behind her to understand her. There is no other way of knowing Maya completely. Okay? The whole attempt in life, be it science also, is to uncover more of Maya, so to say, more of Ishvara really. Saying more of Maya because the names and forms are all Maya. So how much ever we attempt to take, understand it fully, you cannot. Because every single form is made up of other things. Namni namani. You take one thing, there are 15 things in it. You take this body. This body, I think, is one individual. How many pieces are in this body? How many bones, how many muscles, how many glands? Take any one of them. How many sub-parts it has? How many sub-sub-parts it has? You keep going further and further, you will go DNA, you will go further. Still research is going on DNA, right? What strands have what, you know, how you can cure a disease with that. At what point will it start? Will there be a day when science says, I know the whole world entirely, nothing more to be known? Can it be possible? So if you look at it, the human endeavor, even through science, is really to uncover this one reality alone. They don't talk of it the way we do. And they have assumed that the observed is fine, observer is real. That observer is real is where science and Vedanta have a place of, you know, from where we diverge. They start with observer being real, and therefore everything has to be observational. And we start by saying, question the truth of the observer. They are only questioning the truth of the observed. We question the truth of the observer. Right? So, with this kind of a background, you understand that Maya, inquiring into Maya, because many times people have this curiosity. I don't understand how something which is not changing can become all this. So tell me more about it. What is this Maya Shakti? I want to know exactly what is Maya. This kind of an inquiry will not lead you too far. It's unlikely to take you too far, because you may uncover something, but there will be something more. You find one cause for something. Now, what is the cause for that cause? What is the cause for that cause? There is really no end to this pursuit in that way. Therefore, the method instead is to what? Is to give you the vision and say, you hold on to the reality, which is you. You can hold on to it and understand that this is the glory of Ishvara. The Maya is just presented as glory of Ishvara. So I don't need to understand it. I just know that all that is that one alone. So for example, if I know that the only thing in a given room is some dog, let us say, okay, it's been locked up in a room. Now any noises I hear from outside, what do I know? 100% is coming from a dog. Okay, whether it's crying or whining or barking, I have never heard a dog make these noises. But I heard these. Then what comes to my mind? Can there be another thing inside? No, I'm very clear there's only one thing inside. Then I know that everything is born of the dog alone. Same way, if everything is Ishvara, I'm saying, everything is born of Ishvara alone. Funny example that came to my mind. Okay, but I'm just saying to show that if you understand that one is all there is, then you don't have to worry. You have to only worry, how can all this come from this one? That wonder, that amazement will follow. But you don't need to now keep on questioning. See, unless you understand that one, to some extent, you are always questioning, how can this be possible? This asambhavitvam will always be coming to your head. And that can be helped by understanding, there is only one. That Shruti is telling you very clearly. And from there alone, chinmatra vistaritam. Asheshaya, without anything remaining. And ittham, one who understands it in this way, which means there is only one reality and everything else is merely an appearance which draws its very being from that one reality. One who understands in this way, for him, there is no bheda of Brahmana and Dvija and Kshatriya and Vaishya, all that doesn't exist. Therefore, for such a person, whether he is in the form of a Brahmana, a Dvija, or is a Chandala, my salutations, because he is my Guru, as good as my Guru, as good as Ishvara. Now when we say Chinmatra Vistaritam, some people say, there is no such thing. There is no such thing called consciousness, there is no such thing called Ishvara. Okay, this is all somebody's story. This is the wise man's story to exploit the other fellows. There is no such thing. Now, there is only nature. So, see, tree grows by itself, plants happen, ocean is there, rivers flow, wind blows, everything is by itself. Everything is by itself, true. But then, within this by itself, do you see an order or not? Without a seed, would you get a plant? Without a gradient, does water flow? You know, one has to question, is there a reason why it rains? Is there a reason why it snows in one place at a given time? Why there is a predictability of a rain or a snow blizzard? So all this shows what? There is something. And if a person says, this is how it is, we are very happy to say, yes, this is how it is. What is that? This is how it is. What is that? It is what we are questioning, okay? And we are saying that it is really you. That is too wild for them. They are not able to think any further. They just say everything is as it is, nothing has been done. Why? You deny Ishvara, you deny yourself actually the ability to seek help. You deny yourself the ability to pray. And Ishvara, who is blessing me in the form of order, who is going to give me and help me grow out of my own limitations, that is denied if one just says, all this is only nature, there is nothing else but that. Nothing else is gain. Because we are very happy, as Swamiji says, we are reality people. We don't, see, if you didn't call Brahman, you said it's the, you know, the God particle. We are equally happy. You want to discover the God particle? That's what we are also saying. But only thing, you think that the particle other than you, we are going to discover it like this with a microscope? No. We are saying the discovery is in recognizing that that God particle is the subject and is the object. Okay? Then there are others who will say, consciousness is a product. Consciousness is not always there. It's the product of some chemical reaction. Something happens, then consciousness is born. Wonderful. If it is born, our only question is, how do you know it was born? How do you know that it was born? Who determined it was born? So this consciousness is that by which you even know of a chemical reaction. Okay? So everything depends on that one thing with which you know everything else. And you can see, it is an evident fact, that I don't need anything other than myself to be. That self-evidence is evident to me. There is no chemical reaction involved. So the point is what? No, without the body you cannot say. And body means chemical reaction is happening. One can argue till the cows come home, okay? But the whole point is that in sleep your mind is all not there, nothing is there. You are able to recognize all this, alright? And secondly, more importantly for us, any such statement which you make, what is your means of knowing this? See, I can make any statement. Can you disprove it? So I am saying, no, you cannot prove it. And I cannot disprove it. Then it seems to hold. This is how all scriptures are in general. If I cannot disprove it, I have to accept it as a possibility. As a possibility. But I am saying, what is the basis for that? Just a statement. Whereas, for us, what is the status we give to Shruti? It is pramanam. We are willing to go with examination. To talk of the origin of consciousness, one has to have seen, somebody has to see consciousness coming up to talk of it, if it having a beginning, that it arises. That consciousness with which you know the arisal of another consciousness, how do you know? Are there two consciousnesses? How do you even say that I am the one, I see that from chemicals it's arising? Who is that? What is that consciousness? Are there two consciousnesses? For one to say that a second consciousness arises, you have to be able to objectify it coming up. It's like you are sitting at a door and you can see who came in and who went out. If you are not at a door, if you are sitting in the class, how would you know who came in and went out? So the whole point is this. It is impossible that there is a second consciousness arising is being seen. If there are two consciousnesses, what distinguishes one consciousness from another? Is there space between them? Is there time between them? Is there some other object between the two consciousnesses? What is your means to show there are two? To say two, you need to be able to count two. Correct? How are you going to count two consciousnesses? To think about it. How are you going to count? Because, see, for me to count two pieces of paper, I should have two. Suppose these were somehow glued together and you had absolutely no gap. There's only one. Right? So, two requires something to separate the two. And I'm asking you, even in your conception, you tell me, in your imagination, how will you count two consciousnesses? To count, you have to first tell me, consciousness has to be made into an object. Is consciousness an object? My definition is what? That by which you know any object is consciousness. So if you say it's an object, I say it is not consciousness I'm talking about. Whatever you objectify is not consciousness. That by which you objectify, that by which you light up is what I'm calling consciousness. So you cannot say light is this clock. No, it cannot be. What is it that causes that clock to be seen is the light. So I'm saying, if you understand what we are talking of as consciousness, you cannot see how there can be a reasonable argument that consciousness arises. For it to arise, you have to see it arising. For you to see it arising, it must be an object. If it is an object, it is not consciousness. Period. Okay? Should see this very clear. Because otherwise, when somebody tells you this, you will say, yeah, maybe consciousness is created. Then Shastra cannot have a hold on your buddhi, because this samshaya is already there. You know, we are all doubting Thomases. We start with that. The more science you study, the more sometimes you have a doubt. Because in some ways science has, especially in our country, we were told that all these old things are superstitions. I still remember my civics books, you know, social studies. We used to be told all this andhavishwasaha, all blind beliefs. So they wanted to root out this idea. Whoever wrote the books? So without questioning, how can you know the origin of the whole universe as one more product of the universe? You cannot know it by yourself. You have no means of knowledge, no leg to stand on to understand this. If you understand that much, then you have to say, there can only be an external pramanam. And that pramanam has to be part of the creation. And that is what Shruti is presented as a pramana. Otherwise, anything I say is speculation, for which I have no means of knowledge. If I make a statement, then what will it be called? So as I said, I say, there's an elephant sitting outside right now. What's my basis? I feel so. Saying that, you know, the cause of the universe, there is no cause, is like that. Do you know or not? You show me one thing for which there is no cause. One thing in the universe for which there is no cause. You may not know the cause, but there is a cause. If you assume or if you accept there is no cause for something, then science should shut up its laboratories. There is no need for science. Because there is no cause. There is no cause, no effect, there is no order. If there is no order, what's the point of studying science? Today you go and measure, what is the speed of light? 3 lakh, you know, kilometers per hour, per second. Tomorrow it becomes 4 lakhs. What is the point of studying science? If it's changing, you should be able to see the change and say, why it changed? Explain it. That's our attempt. Right? So I'm saying, we need to understand that the importance of recognizing Shruti as a pramanam. If it was not a pramanam, then we are also speculating. And how do we say it's a pramanam? You have to use the pramanam and see whether it makes sense to you or not. If not, you cannot say it's not a pramanam. You cannot say the eyes don't work except by using your eyes. You have no other way of disproving your eyes. This is how it has to be seen. So that background has to be kept in mind whenever you look at Shruti. This consciousness, what it is that by which anything becomes evident to you. Therefore, it cannot be something which is itself an object. It has to be self-evident. And there is only one thing in the universe which is self-evident to you, which you know what it is. Okay. So that should be kept in mind when we talk of chinmatra vistaritam. Otherwise, a chit, if it's not clear, then chinmatra vistaritam cannot be clear. Okay. Next verse, let us chant. Shashvanashvaram eva vishvamakhilam Nishchitya vacha guroh Nityam brahma Nirantaram vimrishata Nirvyaja shantatmana Bhutam bhavicha duskritam Pradahata Samvinmaye pavake Prarabdhaya samarpitam Swapuhu Ityesha manisha mama. So, though it says Ityesha manisha mama, we have to understand Sandalostu సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురుహు ఇత్యేషా మనీషా మమ, బికాస్ దట్స్ రెఫరెన్ ఎవ్రీవేర్, వీ నీడ్ టు బ్రింగ్ దట్ ఇన్. సో నౌ శశ్వన్నశ్వరమేవ విశ్వమఖిలం అఖిలం ఖిలరహితం వితౌట్ ఎనిథింగ్ రిమైనింగ్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ టోటల్ కవరేజ్ అఖిలం. వాట్ అఖిలం? విశ్వం, ది వరల్డ్, ది యూనివర్స్, ది వన్ విచ్ ఇస్ సీన్ బై వేరియస్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ కాగ్నిషన్, వివిధ ప్రత్యయ గమ్యం విశ్వం. వాట్ ఇస్ ఇట్స్ నేచర్? శశ్వన్ నశ్వరం, ఇట్ ఇస్ దట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ బీయింగ్ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ in a way. Destroyed, we'll look at this whole thing. I'm just giving you a simple meaning to start with. Shashvan nashvara meva vishvam akhilam nishchitya, having determined very clearly, having understood, vacha guroho, guroho vacha, by means of the words of the teacher, guroho vacha, నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ నిరంతరం విమృశత. నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ, దిస్ బ్రహ్మన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ది కంటెంట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్, సచ్ ఎ బ్రహ్మన్, నిరంతరం విమృశత, ఆల్వేస్ కీపింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ మైండ్, రికగ్నైజింగ్ ఇట్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్, నిరంతరం, వితౌట్ ఎనీ గ్యాప్. నిర్వ్యాజ శాంతాత్మన, with a mind which is calm, which is not going outwards, which has no pretenses of any kind, nirvyaja, has no pretense, no deception, has no reason, no excuses to do that. Nirvyaja shantatmana, bhutam bhavicha duskritam pradahata. Bhutam, past, bhavi, what's going to come in future, cha, you can bring vartamana, not necessary. Better to just keep it bhutam bhavi. Bhuta and bhavi, what is past and future, dushkritam, the punya papa that you have, the collection, that which has already begun fructifying and that which is yet to fructify, bhutam and bhavi. Pradahata, completely burning, burning out. Pradahata, third case singular, pradahat, shatranta. Pradahata, samvinmaye pavake. What's the fire to burn all these karmas away? Samvit maye. This proper understanding that I am the reality of all that is here. That samvit. Samvin maye pavake. Pavaka is that it purifies. Fire. Just like fire purifies whatever is put into it, this knowledge will purify. Purify means it purifies the one mala that I am a karta. When it removes I am karta, I am bhokta, all your papas at once vanish. That way it's a pavaka. So minmaye pavake. So he has basically burnt his entire past and agami karma. Then what is remaining if sanchita and agami gone? Prarabdha is continuing. Prakarabdha. Therefore, prarabdha, what is prarabdha? Prarabdha is also Ishvara. It's the glory of Ishvara that even when one knows, body doesn't pop off. If it did, there would be no teacher, no sampradaya, nothing is possible. This prarabdhaya samarpitam suvapuhu. One has no agenda. A body continues as it does. Everything continues as it does. So such a person who is able to even hand over, means hand over in the sense, not have any specific concern, he is able to relax whatever the conditions that present itself to him. Any situation that he finds himself in, the person is comfortable. That is samarpitam. No resistance to any situation. This is a jnani. Prarabdhaya samarpitam svavapuhu. His body, mind, sense complex is as though offered into this prarabdha. Without resistance. The main thing is no resistance. He doesn't think that, oh, I am a jnani, now I have to go through all this dialysis, there is no jnanam, sarvam dukham. That is not the idea. What does Swamiji say? This pain is also a glory. I see the glory of Ishvara in pain. In any form it comes, you recognize Ishvara. So, Yes, this is a body. This body has some parts. Parts fall apart. What is put together falls apart. Things are falling apart. When they fall apart, there is a pain. Physical pain cannot be denied. There is a body, it will have pain. You know? So have leg will break one day. Possible. Right? Not will, can break. So, all this is possibilities. So this is a possibility. And why it is there? The past which has begun is fructifying. Prarabdha. So what has taken off? So we give an example, an explanation. What is that? That an arrow which is shot, that arrow cannot go back to its quiver. What has been discharged from the bow has to make its journey. If you throw a stone up, it's not going to hang there. It's going to come down. Okay? Oh, I shouldn't have thrown it. That regret is not going to stop the stone. It is going to come and fall right back. So once you have done something, karmaṇyeva adhikārahate, you have only a privilege of undertaking an action. The result is not in your hand. Prarabdha really is the result of the past, which has begun. And once the result has begun to fructify, it takes its course. But this too actually is from the perspective of the onlooker. So if you ask a jnani, are you this body? Prarabdha tail, so you are continuing right now. I was always there. I was never not there. Even before this body was born, I was there. And even when this body is dropped, I will continue to be there. That is the eye of the jnani. The eye of the jnani is not in this body-mind complex. Therefore, there is no prarabdha for a jnani. The prarabdha is our explanation of what we see. Okay? As Swamiji always likes to say, if, you know, Abdul Qadir, you know, had three wives, three begums, then, if he dies, does two become widows immediately, and the third one will become widow after 10 years? Is that like that? Abdul Qadir had three wives. Okay? So, if he passes away, when do the three wives become widows? Do they become widows at different time or at the same time? Question. So, our example is what? You have three wives. What are our three wives here? Prarabdha, Sanchita and Agami Karma. All of them, who is the husband? Karta, Aham Karta, Aham Bhokta. This is the husband. He is holding on to all three. They are all my wives. Right? My company. They never should, you know, death do us part. Is that what do you say? Yeah. So, until that time, you should not be separated. Wife, married in that idea, you know, that we should be together all the time. So that means karta holds on to his karma phala like that. Because I don't want you to enjoy my karma phala, okay? I want my own karma phala. So I hold on to it. Now when the karta is negated, when the karta passes, when he dies, when the karta dies, you tell me which of the wives survives, doesn't become a widow. They all have to become a widow at the same time. There is no other possibility. Therefore, prarabdha is a way of talking, a way of explaining the continuation of this body. Because in this world, we see the body continuing. We need an explanation. We want an explanation why a person like Pooja Swamiji has pain. There is a question. People ask, how can a jnani have pain? Which means, you don't understand who is a jnani. If you question, how can a jnani have pain? Means we don't understand what jnanam means. Jnanam means that this body is physical, it will have pain when it has to have pain. There's nothing wrong with it. What is the real jnanam? Despite the pain, despite all the things that go on, despite, you know, communicating through this body mind sense complex which is a cause for pain and troubles, despite all that, the jnani recognizes that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am the one who enlivens them, and not just this body, I am the one who is the reality who enlivens the entire universe. That understanding shines through him. So for him there is no prarabdha, there is no pain. So only when one has such a knowledge can this be true. Prarabdhaya samarpitam sopuhu. One can surrender oneself without any difficulty. Surrender does not mean you should not do anything. Why do they take medicine? Why do they go to, if Jnani has done samarpanam to Prarabdha, why does he go to hospital? Another question. Why do people do all this? Because he should not go anywhere. He's okay. He's okay, but he's okay going to the hospital also. What's your problem? Okay? He has got a free will. And he knows it is free. He can use it any way he likes. Okay? Just like you have the free will to ask such questions, Jnani has the free will to do what he likes. Therefore, Jnani indeed is the one whose free will is really free. And Ajnani is the one who will say, oh, this is all given by Ishvara, Prarabdha, I should accept it, therefore I won't go to hospital. This is Kartrutvam. Real Kartrutvam, okay? I won't go. Why? Because stiff. I can't go. This is not Jnanam. Jnanam is to say, a lot of things are given to me. A body is given to me. Disease, the possibility of disease is given to me. Possibility of remedy is given to me. Treatment is given to me. The will is given to me to either go to a physician or not go to one. It's given to me. I can go. I may not go. I may go tomorrow. Kartum, akartum, anyatha va kartum, shakya. That is freedom. That's real freedom. This freedom one has. So understand, when we say Ishvara is the order, everything is explainable by Ishvara. Free will is also part of that order. You don't talk of an Ishvara without that free will. And that free will means what? You have the freedom to make choices. Ability to make choices given. You have been given a buddhi. You have been given your organs to work, to do something. But you recognize the fact that this ahankara which says I, is not the only factor of action. Shariravang manobhiryaha karma prarabhate naraha nyayam va viparitam va panchayate tatra hetavaha. Whatever action a person begins with, this body, this mind, etc., understand, it is not one cause. What is it then? Adhishtanam tatakarta karanascha prithak vidaha vividhascha prithak cheshtaha daivanchayivatra panchamam. Gita 18th verse, 18th chapter, you will see. Adhishtanam. There is a body, a counter for the experiences. The body, adhishtanam. Then there is an ahankara. There are different karanas, different types of karanas. And there are different actions. Vividhascha prithak cheshtaha. And then what? Daivam chaivatra panchamam. Daivam. This order, the Ishvara behind all the actions, is the fifth factor. This panchamam is exactly like our friend Turiyam. Okay? What does it mean? Panchama is not a fifth. It is that fifth which makes these four possible. The body, the mind, the ahankara, the karanas, all of which owe their very existence and the knowledge due to which they operate, they do. All of which owe their very existence to which Ishvara, that is panchamam. To start with, you say, there is a fifth factor. Alright, no problem. Because you are so sure of the first factor, aham, that nothing else seems to count. Therefore, if you even give me this much leg room, you know, you give me a little room to say, yes, there is one more factor. That's enough. Acknowledge the fact that there is something more than you whom calls the shots. Acknowledge. That itself is a huge step forward. To acknowledge that I am not responsible for whatever I am doing. Even a simple act like talking, seeing, hearing. You have to only have to go and see people who do not have these faculties to appreciate what a blessing we are enjoying. So, to have this room to say, there is a factor which is beyond my call, which is not subject to my ordering, which makes a difference. That's why we say, Daivam Chaivatra Panchamam. It's a fifth factor. Because everybody will accept in general, I accomplish with my mind and senses, with the resources. That much I can see. It is available to Pratyaksha. available for my sight. Now, most people, unless you come to Shastra, you can only talk of what? Pratyaksha, Pramana I am saying. Pratyaksha, Anumana, then Arthapatti, Upama, Anupalabdhi. All of these are rooted in what? Based on what? Pratyaksha. So you only have trust in what? Your five senses. That's where you rely. If that is your own reliance, you cannot accept another factor. But you have a word in every culture. What do you say? I'm not lucky. You know? I'm not fortunate enough. Or it didn't work out. Why it didn't work out, sir? Why? I don't know. Yeah, I'm telling you, I can tell you why it didn't work out. How can you tell me? Because there is an order. Can you tell me exactly? I go to astrology and maybe he'll tell you something more. But the whole point is to recognize the fact that there is something more is one huge step. The second step is what? That factor, that so-called extra factor, is also amenable to bring about changes. It's available to me to bring about changes in my life. I am not helpless. I can make a prayer. I can relate with this factor, which is a conscious being, an Ishvara, and that Ishvara gives karma phala. A prayer is a karma, it has a karma phala. You can change the course of things in life. It may take an immense effort, but it can be changed. Huge blessing. Recognizing an Ishvara, recognizing a conscious Ishvara who is karma phala data, who is able to change things based on my karma. Huge factor. Once you give me this much room, then the prayer will transform life to the point where you are able to say it is not panchamam. Panchamam really is upachara. There is only one, which is Ishvara. That's where you end up finally. So with this understanding, this is the understanding of a jnani. You start by saying, I am, there is a world which I confront, and there are so many factors around me. All karakas walk in. Finally you end where? You struggle a lot with this. You come to the conclusion, I don't call all the shots, there is something more. We call it Ishvara. Then, with giving that space to Ishvara, you recognize that all that is here is Ishvara. And that knowledge one has, then what is the difficulty with facing any situation? The onlookers, we have difficulty seeing Pujya Swamiji struggle, we pray, we do what we can do. It's not that the mind of Swamiji is going to be inured to pain. He feels the pain as well. We know that. But at the same time, we should understand that from his perspective, it's in order. That's what we need to learn. That even each of us may have, we may wish not to have, but we may have experiences like this which are very difficult to deal with. Vedanta gives you a very good remedy for your mental problems. There is much room there. Easy to handle that. But this physical pain, there is no antidote for it. If it comes, we have to learn to deal with it. And I'm saying it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to learn from what's going on around us, to see how things can come. I am not going to be, it's always easy to somebody else will get the pain, not me. You know, till I get it, I'm okay. But one day it will get me, can get me. Recognize that. And my prayer is what? When it comes, may I have the ability to see that that too is a glory of Ishvara, like Pujya Swamiji says. To be able to say that, not because I read it, but because I see it to be so. So that is prarabdhaya samarpitam svapuhu. One's body is offered without resistance. One accepts whatever comes one's way without resistance. If this is the person, to such a person, my salutation, because he is not different from my guru. Because my guru's vision is what? Guror drishti, you should remember. Nityam nivastumai shri guror divya drishtihi. What is that? Sakala bhuvana srishtihi kalpita shesha pushtihi. Sakala bhuvana srishtihi, the entire creation of the universe is myself. And that myself alone, I alone nourish and keep this world going. Satchidananda drishtihi. I see myself as that Satchit and Ananda. That drishti, the one who has, alone can say, prarabdhaya samarpitam svapuhu. To such a teacher, my salutation. Okay? So, I have started on the last line first. We'll go back and do the others later. Okay? So, tomorrow you'll have your chanting class, because we have taken the time when they were not here. So, we'll give them at least one class. And Sunday morning we'll have this class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.